Good morning. To EMP for March 24th. Let's read the word together. So today we're going to go through 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. So I'll start by reading the word. David destroys the Amalekites. David and his men reach Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken the captive and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." David and the 600 men with him came to Bezor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed fig and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, "Who do you belong to? Where do you come from?" He said, "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerithites, some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." David asked him, "Can you lead me down to this raiding party?" He answered, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them." He led David down, and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." Amen. Lord, we humbly come before you, before your word this morning. And we just open our minds. We open our hearts to you. And we ask that however way you need to speak to us, however way my friend, you know, myself and my friends, Lord, what we need to hear, I pray that you would speak today. We submit this time to you. We come before you. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, good morning. I just wanted to, I'm sure many of us, we've maybe read this before, this passage, and we've definitely heard of this David person. And I just wanted to review a bit of his story today. And I thought there were some things that God might want to speak to us through the passage. Not just this passage, but his whole life. And so what I'm going to do today is, actually, look, let's see how much we get to, because people have literally written books and book. I mean, about David, right? So, but let's see how much we get to today. And first I'm going to start off by sharing a little bit of the background. I'll review the background, what was going on with David, and then it's just some points that I thought we could gather. So first, note, we're in 1 Samuel 30, right? So just so you know, the book of 1 Samuel has 31 chapters. So we're at almost the end of the first book, and so lots of things have happened, you know? As you guys remember, David was the youngest, probably Bible scholars say, you know, probably the illegitimate son, not well-respected, not well-loved, of Jesse, who lived in Bethlehem. Let me give you a little bit of context. So Bethlehem, I mean, actually, I don't want to offend anybody, but Bethlehem was no great city, okay? Within Israel, it was, it wasn't central. It wasn't the central part of Israel. It was maybe the armpit of Israel, you know what I mean? It's so much so that, essentially, it was just not a well-known place. Now, you know, when we hear Bethlehem, we think, oh, yeah, of course, you know, Jesus was born there. But back then, you know, that's why people say, oh, he was of humble circumstance, so he was also from Bethlehem. It was such a humdrum place. You know, imagine suburbia somewhere. So, number one, that's where he was from, unloved, whatever. But then, as we know, in 1 Samuel 8, Israel asked for a king. They sinned, they asked for a king. God was their king, but they wanted a human king, just like all the other nations. And God gave Israel Saul, and Saul, for various reasons, he doesn't submit himself to God, etc. He relies on his own strength. And then God appoints David. You know where? He appoints him in 1 Samuel 16:13. So remember, I said we're in 1 Samuel 30. David is still not king. Actually, we find himself in a pretty desperate situation. But he was anointed king by God through the prophet Nathan all the way back in 1 chapter 16. So what happened? You know? God gave the promise in front of all his brothers, you know, in public, among his family at least. It's just that it wasn't widely news, right? Because, I mean, there were no courtiers and there were no, like, important people in Bethlehem probably. So no one really knew outside of his family. But he was appointed king in 1 Samuel 16. And yet here we are in 1 Samuel 30, and he's still not king. Let's think about that. But anyway, so 1 Samuel chapter 16, he becomes king. And actually, things start working out pretty okay. You know? Again, David was tending his sheep, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly, in 1 Samuel 16, he was just doing his thing. But then quite quickly, we start seeing that in 1 Samuel 17, the famous incident with David happens. He kills Goliath. Okay. Wow. All right. He used to be tending sheep. No one cared. No one loved him. Ignored by everybody. 1 Samuel 17, he's killing Goliath. It looks like God's plan is moving, you know, and pretty quickly, right? And then all Israel suddenly loves this guy. You know, he was known, unknown by everybody, but then suddenly everybody loves him. He continues to grow popular and more popular. So much so that, you know, in 1 Samuel 18, some say they want to, you know, maybe make him king, not necessarily making king, but man, this guy, you know, Saul kills his hundreds or thousands, but David kills his tens of thousands. It looks like, again, God is working. His plan, his promises are good and will be fulfilled, right? Now, that's probably what David was thinking too. And then we get to 1 Samuel 19. All right, what starts happening? Well, Saul tries to kill David. Okay. He first indirectly tries to kill David. Sorry, we're not going to go through the whole text, and I just want to get this to. I'm just going to review it for us. You know, initially David thinks, you know, it says in the Bible that Saul started fearing. He started getting, the jealousy started working on him. That he started thinking, well, God's going to give my kingdom to this young whippersnapper. And so, you know, the devil started working in his heart. And he, you know, it says in one point that he took his javelin and he threw it against David. But David was able to evade it. But I mean, this guy, he really wanted to kill him. It wasn't just like playing around. But yeah, so that's 1 Samuel 19. Remember, the promise came in 1 Samuel 16. Things started working really well. And then by 1 Samuel 19, he's running around for his life. So what happened between 1 Samuel and then, and as you know, so he's starting to now run away. He had to leave his family. He had to leave his wife. He had to leave Jerusalem. And he literally he had to flee with just the clothes on his back. He didn't even have time to pick up his weapon, to put on his armor, nothing. He just had to flee immediately. So he tried to hide in the mountains. He couldn't even hide in the mountains. He actually needed to go to the, ultimately he needed to go and to the king of the Philistines, who, as you know, was the an enemy country of Israel, because that was the only place that he could get refuge. And so he went to the Philistine king, and he kind of essentially deceived the king and said, I'm on your side, but he wasn't. He had never fought. He never, even when he was in the Philistines, with the Philistines, he lied to the king and said, look, I've been actually attacking my Israel. So even though he wasn't, he was actually going ahead and attacking other people. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is, promise came, even by the end of, in 1 Samuel 16, but even by 1 Samuel 30, the promise has not been fulfilled. And actually, you know, if you thought things were bad, so, you know, everything that I've talked about, right, he had to be fleeing, he was living in caves, but even in the caves and mountains of Israel where he was trying to find solace, he couldn't, because every time he would go somewhere, some spy would tell the king, oh, David's here. And then Saul would come out with his army and try to kill David, and then David had to flee here, flee there, flee there. And so ultimately he thought, there's no way in all of Israel I'm going to be able to be safe. So then he actually had to go over to the enemy country, as I said. So, but in, and then we get to, sorry, that was the background. And then here we get to 1 Samuel 30. And so what had happened, if you had said up until now it was tough, 1 Samuel 30 was the utter low. And let me tell you why it was the utter low. So he had been with his, he had put his friends and family, his cohorts, they had set up a base in Ziklag, and he had actually marched out with the Philistine army that was going to go against Israel. So can you imagine what was going on? His men must have been like, we're going to fight against Israel? What the heck? But then, thankfully, through God's intervention, the Philistine generals said, there's no way in the world we're going to go to war against Israel with David. I know you trust him, but we don't trust him. So then through God's intervention, he actually did not need to fight against Israel. So now they all came back to Ziklag. I imagine that his men were thinking, well, anyway, so he came back to Ziklag, and you know what happened? While they were gone, a raiding party, as we read today, had come and destroyed their town and stole and taken away all their family, all their family members. And it was so bad that, remember, even his own men, and these were the supposedly a lot of the dregs of society, right? These who had nowhere to go, but they had come to David while he was fleeing because they also had nowhere to go. They were the renegades. So they were supposed to be really close with David, you know, the bonds forged in the heat of battle, stuff like that. But even his friends wanted to kill him. We read that today, right? So David was greatly distressed. This was probably up until now, I mean, he was going through a lot of different things, but it's certainly a different level of distress when even your own brothers in arms, the guys who you trusted to have your back, they were so distressed that they want to kill you. They want to stone you. They're questioning his leadership, right? Why did you bring us to this enemy territory? And what were you trying to do? Like, you know, what was going on? We had to almost fight against the Israelites, but thankfully now we didn't have to. But now we come back, and then what is this? Our family, our friends are all killed. Sorry, not killed, but they're taken away as slaves. But then what did David do? And that's kind of the crux of the message today. I just wanted to kind of talk to you about what David had to get through to get to 1 Samuel 30. So anyway, what did David do? But David, in verse 6, it says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And the important thing is actually, we don't have time to go through, but there are several instances from 1 Samuel 16 to 1 Samuel 30. This is not the first time this verse comes up. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. Actually, it happens multiple times. When David is, all that difficulty that I just explained or briefly went through, each time something like that happened, we find that David found strength in the Lord, his God. He didn't find strength like Saul did, for example, in the number of his men. He didn't find strength in the affirmation of men, the courtiers around him. But at each of these times, it says David found strength in the Lord his God. You know, we can even, you don't have to go there, but remember, even in 1 Samuel 14, 18 to 19, we find that when there was a desperate situation militarily, again, Saul, instead of leaning on God, he leaned on himself, does his own thing with the sacrifice, and then the kingdom is torn away from him. So this was one of the key things that differentiated David from most other people. In the midst of difficulty, instead of falling on yourself, falling on your own strength, on your own ability, instead, he had learned how to strengthen himself in the Lord. He didn't give up. Instead, he fell towards God. So, how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? And we're going to come back to this David story again. But let's go with, and please, you don't need to go there, but we can take some suggestions in the Bible about what it says. Number one, it says, as we strengthen ourselves. So how do we strengthen? I think one way is, as it says in Philippians 4, so it says in verses 5 and 7, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So verse 5, rejoice. You know, rejoice, as you know, rejoice actually means to be full of joy. So how do we get to be full of joy? I think we remember, like as it says in Philippians 4, we remember. We remember the facts about God. So like in here, for example, it says, remember the Lord is always near. And remember, that definition for remember is actually to tell yourself again and again the truth. Tell yourself again and again the truth. Remember those times when God, even whatever we might be going through now, but remember your times when you experienced God coming through for you, when you experienced His love and His grace, His working in your life, that we remember those times. You know, one thing that I do is I actually, on an Excel, I have a date. I have my prayer requests. And then the next column is I keep the date when God answers the prayer. So I keep a Thanksgiving journal, essentially, and however way you want to do it. But when you're going through life and you forget about the different times, when you forget and you can't and you lose a bit of that perspective, for me, I go back to that Excel and I remind myself, oh yeah, on this day, God, you know, I was praying for this and then God answered this. I used to be praying for this and God answered this. And so it strengthens me as I remember, even though right now, this situation, I honestly don't know which way I'm supposed to do it or how God's going to come through. It seems impossible. But then, and so in the midst of the fire, you forget. But then I go and I remind myself by going through that Excel or Word doc, whatever. It used to be a Word document for me. Now it's an Excel. But however it works for you. But you go back and you remember. You remind yourself. So reminding ourselves of God's goodness, of when He came through for us, that's one way that personally I strengthen myself in the Lord. Another way is we pray, we get into His presence. And obviously, there's many other ways, but I'm just sharing how God works in my life. First of all, I just go before Him. I make sure to repent of anything that I need to repent for. Just get clean with Him so that I can get closer to Him in His presence. And then I worship. I cleanse my heart. And then I just get into His presence. I think just like last week during EMP, where we just invite His presence in. And remember we said, it says, if we just humble ourselves before Him, and as we draw near to Him, the Lord will draw near to us. It's just the same thing. As we humble ourselves before Him, and as we draw ourselves to Him, He will draw Himself near to us. We just get into His presence. And God fills us with His strength. And He starts speaking to us, right, about how He starts giving us His perspective on the situation. And then going back, all throughout the Psalms, going back to the story of David, all throughout the Psalms, we can see how David actually, in real time, responded to the difficult situations, right? So one of these situations is Psalm 34. I think if I read it, everybody, you'll have recognized pieces of it. But it's a good reminder. Psalm 34, and I'll read it for us. I'm going to read it for us later too, but I'll read you parts of it. It says this. It's written by David. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Number one. Remember, this was not written in 2 Samuel 1. 2 Samuel 1 was when, after going through all this craziness, he was appointed as king. He didn't write this in 2 Samuel 1. He wrote this around 1 Samuel 21. Okay, so the reason I kept on emphasizing, I just want you to think about 1 Samuel 16. We're currently at 1 Samuel 30, kind of the worst of the worst, actually. And then in 2 Samuel 1, he's going to be king. But remember, he wrote this, Psalm 34, what we think is this great testimony of faith, this great song of faith that he wrote. He wrote it around 1 Samuel 21. So I'm going to continue. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Just a good reminder. Remember, the original promise of 1 Samuel 16 had not come through yet when he wrote this. But along the way, there were instances when God had spoken to him and had proven faithful. But guess what? It wasn't the big one. So I don't know. I mean, among us here, maybe there's been a big one. God is the one who told you something. Like with David, right? Maybe you're here in Hong Kong because God gave you a promise. God told you, if you go to Hong Kong, that's my will for you, son. And if you go there, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this through you. I'm going to, you know, save a million people through you. I'm going to use you to speak life and life abundantly into the people around you. Or I'm going to give you the ability to create much wealth if you go here. And you're going to be doing all these things. You know, I'm going to be doing all these things through you. Maybe that was the plan for you, whatever, that you're here in Hong Kong right now, that you're sitting here at Solomon's porch. That was the original promise. But maybe you're like David, where it hasn't come to fruition. Maybe you're like David, like in 1 Samuel 30. It just hasn't happened yet. And I just want to encourage you. Look, and I'm on the way too, absolutely. I mean, I'm only 40. I expect to be living to 100, at least. That's the average life expectancy now for people who are born. And I'm on the way too. I don't really know where I'm supposed to be going exactly. I just know that there are these promises that people have spoken over me. And they haven't come into fruition yet. But what I do know is God has proven faithful many, 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 many times in my life. I mean, the big one hasn't come. I don't even know if that's the right term, the big one. But that one hasn't happened yet. But I remember all the times that he has proven faithful until, and I'm going to continue not to strengthen myself in the praises of men or comfortable circumstances or my bank account or whatever it may be for you, whatever it is that you tend to lean towards to find your strength in, but instead I'm going to continue to find my strength in the Lord. Yeah, maybe we'll stop there. So if you could, maybe we could just, Ernie, if you could, maybe initially just something, just some instrumental first, yeah. And, you know, this message came to me first. And it's been something that I've been, that God has really spoken to me. It was actually a few years ago. I was in Tokyo again. And it was one of those situations where I had this investment. Sorry, I just realized, you know, PSAM has his sports analogies. And for me, it's always about investment because it's my job, I guess. So that's always my examples. But I had this investment in Japan. And at the time, it was a decent-sized investment, and it was just down a really big amount in a very quick amount of time. And at the time, I was in this the other hotels that I normally stay at. There was no room, and I was staying in this hotel, and it was a smoking room. And I had never stayed in a smoking room before, but I started getting headaches. It was just, but I couldn't go anywhere else because there was no other places I could go. And so I was lying there in bed, and I couldn't even go to sleep because of this worry and anxiety, I guess. And the smoke smell, and it was quite terrible. And I just didn't even know what to do. But I remember this verse came up: strengthen yourself in the Lord. And so I went to Google, you know, that's the answer for everything. And I found this verse about Ziklag. And so I started reading about Ziklag. And then because I couldn't go to sleep anyway, I just started reading all of, you know, around where I, essentially what we started today, about 1 Samuel 16 and all the way up to 2 Samuel 1 and 2. And I was really encouraged that, right, I need to strengthen myself in the Lord. And guess what? I was reminded that I might only be in 1 Samuel 21 in my walk. I might only be in 1 Samuel 30 in my walk. I don't know where you are in your walk. But the important thing is, we got to keep on trudging to 2 Samuel 1. Yeah? It's always darkest before the dawn, right? That's actually a Bible verse. It's always darkest before the dawn. And if David, because this was the worst for him. I mean, can you imagine? David was a man's man, right? Like this was his brothers. This was like the men who, because he said, oh, what would I give if at this point, as he was stuck in one of the mountains, if I could just have a drink of water from the well in front of my house in Bethlehem or Jerusalem. I forget what he said. And some of his mighty men, they braved death and they ran into the lines of the enemy. They broke the siege. They ran in, got some water, and brought this cup of water to David. I mean, this was the type of relationship he had with his friends, right? With his people. And yet, even they were so downcast. They wanted to stone him. So can you put yourself in the shoes of the guy who's about to get stoned by these friends? It's one thing if, like, Saul wants to kill you. It's one thing if, like, the Philistines want to kill you. But another thing was your friends want to kill you. Up until now, that had never happened, right? So this was really the worst of the worst. But yet, each time, David didn't pull a Saul, where Saul said, okay, the pressure's on. The pressure's on now. I need to fix this. And that's what led to the kingdom of Israel being torn from him, because he relied on his own strength. But yet in the crucible between 1 Samuel 16 and 1 Samuel 30, each time David strengthened himself in the Lord. And if you had to sum up what I was trying to share today, Lord, so I pray that you would make a message out of this mess. But, you know, the number one thing was, where are you? Just because you're in 1 Samuel 21, or if you're in 1 Samuel even 29, or God forbid you're in 1 Samuel 30, wherever you are, don't worry. Keep on trudging. Keep on strengthening yourself in the Lord. Because guess what? Guess what? The word says, just like for David had received a promise from the Lord in 1 Samuel 16, God also has a promise for you. God also has a plan for you. So that's my first point. Focus on the 2 Samuel 1, where you're going to get to. Focus on those promises. Number two, don't strengthen yourself with something else, but strengthen yourself in the Lord. And how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? How can we be filled with the strength and with His joy? You know, Ernie shared a few weeks ago, right? About Nehemiah, that verse in 8, Nehemiah 8, I believe, where it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." So yeah, how do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? We get into His presence. We get filled with His joy. And the thing about Nehemiah 8, I believe, is, you know, one thing, the strength of the Lord is your joy. Sorry. Yeah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, one thing I believe is as we get into His presence, I think I've shared on this too before, when you get into His presence, you start feeling the joy of the Lord towards you. And that becomes your strength. Yes? So, as Ernie leads us, let's meditate on that. Let's meditate on that. And just like David did, he stirred himself up. You know, Psalm 34, and I want to read over that later, but as we meditate, actually, if it's okay, maybe I'll read it over us now. But as we just close your eyes, listen to this, listen to these words. And can you remember, this was David who wrote this, who spoke these words over himself. It wasn't 2 Samuel 1. It was 1 Samuel 21. The heading for this in my Bible, it says of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. This was when he had found no safety in Israel. This first time when he tried to go to an enemy king and try to get some solace there, and the generals of that enemy king said, "Are you kidding? This is David. We can't let him come in." And then David, because he was fearing for his life, he actually said, he pretended to be insane before him, so that the king said, "Why do you bring me this insane dude? Obviously, the guy's lost his mind. The stress has got to him. Just throw him away." That was the situation. So, yeah, let's close our eyes. Please let these words sink in. Psalm 34. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. To taste, you actually have to try. You actually have to take a bite. You need to get into His presence, right? So fear the Lord, you His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The lies of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but The Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. But the Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. So Lord, I just pray right now, God, that as Ernie leads us in worship, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We come before you right now and with all our worries and burdens, Lord, and we don't know what to do, God, but we come before you. And we want to worship you, God. We stir ourselves up. We want to declare the truth over ourselves right now as we worship you. So I pray, would you strengthen us? Would you stir something in us, God, as we remind us of your goodness, as we declare your goodness and your truth over us? We thank you, God, you're a good Father. So, Lord, we just want to worship you. We thank you.
Bones will sing, great. in our lungs, so we pour out our rest to you, holy. Great I
Yes, Lord, we thank you, God, that, Lord, as you promised, God, in so many places, Lord, but in Deuteronomy 31:6, Lord, where you say, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. The Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So, Lord, I pray. We thank you so much, God, for the anointed worship, Lord. And I just pray for our friends wherever we are. Lord, we hold on to your promise, God. I'm sure David did the same as well with this promise, Lord, in Deuteronomy. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So, Lord God, whatever circumstances we're going through, Lord, let us hold on to those promises, this promise and so many promises for you that you have for us in your word, God. Your promises about yourself, about the thoughts that you think about us, God. And, Lord, help us, God, not to just stop at 1 Samuel 19:20 all the way to 30:31, Lord, but help us, God, to strengthen ourselves in you that we get to 2 Samuel 1, Lord. So we thank you so much. And Lord, now we just want to come along our side, our friends, Lord, and pray for them. Lord, those, God, who are in the midst of that period between 1 Samuel 19, Lord, to before the promises are fulfilled, Lord, we want to come alongside and pray for them. So, first, Lord, we want to lift up our friends and our community members, Lord, who are dealing with cancer, who are also going through chemo and radiation therapy, Lord. So, I just want to pray for them now. Let's pray for also members of our community who are going through non-cancer illness, but also they need salvation. They need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let's cover them and their loved ones and their situations in prayer right now. Let's also pray for our members of our community. Let's pray for our community members who are going through infirmities. Let's pray for the fullness of healing to come in Jesus' name. For our Saturday prayer assignments. Let's pray for members of our community that are looking for jobs. Let's just pray right now that favor with God and with man, but also during this time that they would strengthen themselves in the Lord and seek direction from you.
let's move. Let's pray for our mission focus, for North Korea, for Open Doors for Ministry, for missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia, and for the persecuted churches, and also the Middle East. Pray for our SP weekend gatherings, activities. So the SLW, the Single Life Workshop, Retreat, the GIC, Women's Discipleship, Prison Outreach, Drug Rehab Outreach, Sunday Sunday Services, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth Yahweh, SP Indonesia Services and Activities, and all meetings. Pray for the house churches that are meeting today. So Fortress, House to House, Mawan, South Side and West Side. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for your promises, God. We thank you for your good, loving thoughts towards us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to remind us, God. Help us to remind ourselves to remember. And continue to strengthen us, God, as we draw near to you. And we thank you that you promised to draw near to us. So we thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.